Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
It's wonderful to come and enjoy good music. Can you say amen to that? It's wonderful to sit and listen to good music and just enjoy one another and sing songs. And you know, the world has replaced the local church with the local bar. So they go and they sing songs. They just can't remember what they sang, and they wake up with a hangover. We get to come here and sing the songs of the Lord and enjoy good music, and we get to go home and we don't have a headache. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. And we are thankful again for what is going on as a part of the family. As a local church, we have the privilege of going out and planting another church. And Brother Andrew is going to go with Brother Tony, as I said just a minute ago. He's going to read a letter and just say a few words to us. You come. Thank you,
Pastor. Excuse me. My wife told me when I get up here tonight, do not cry. So I'm going to try my hardest not to cry. This letter is a letter of appreciation / farewell. In 2002, the United States Air Force decided to relocate our family from Edwards Air Force Base in California to Nellis Air Force Base here in Nevada. Prior to our move, we attended Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. And upon the recommendation of one of their pastors and subsequent move to Las Vegas, Nevada, we arrived in March of 2002. We attended the first Sunday service that morning and the evening service in March at Liberty, and followed Wednesday night service as well. The following week, Mrs. Cheryl Smith came to our house with a bread basket, welcoming us the first time as visitors to Liberty Baptist Church. The following week, on a Tuesday night visitation, Pastor Tice and his wife came by our house to visit us to tell us about Liberty Baptist Church. The following month, our family became members of Liberty after a letter of transfer of recommendation from Lancaster Baptist Church. And our lives has transformed from day one when we got here. We want to thank you, Pastor Tice, from the bottom of our hearts in allowing us to serve in various ministries in and throughout the church. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It's been said that life is ministry and ministry is life. Ministry involves serving, and serving involves working for the Lord. The main purpose of ministry is seeing lives change for the honor and glory of God. You and the ministries of Liberty Baptist Church have been a blessing to us in more ways than you can imagine. We want to thank you also for your leadership and guidance in spiritual matters, with most importantly, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Every week, you, Pastor Tice, place a high premium on the preaching of the Word of God, not giving the congregation your philosophy nor your opinion, but simply saying what the Lord says from the Bible. Many books can inform, but only the Bible can transform a life from being destined to a place called hell to a life being destined to heaven. This message is preached every single week at Liberty Baptist Church, and for that we are grateful. After faithfully attending and serving here at Liberty Baptist Church over the last 12 years, we are now embarking on a new journey with a new church plant of City Baptist Church. We count it a privilege and an honor in you giving us your recommendation and your permission to go beyond these walls to help Pastor Griffin with City Baptist Church. We have never been part of a church plant, but are excited about the new venture and wholeheartedly believe that we are prepared and trained in areas of teaching, serving, and ministering to people because you have equipped us according to Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As our pastor and our teacher, you have poured your life into ministering to us for the work of the ministry in building God's kingdom by seeing people saved and using our talents, teaching, serving, and ministering. We are able to take those attributes and use them for the glory of God at City Baptist Church. And with that, we will always be extremely thankful. Finally, we, those of us who are going, along with my family and I, we want you to continue to pray and support City Baptist Church as we start on 25th January 2015. We believe that God is in this church plant, and with prayer and support, City Baptist Church will be successful. To the staff, Liberty Baptist Academy teachers, and members of Liberty Baptist Church, we are going to miss you dearly. We are thankful for serving with and alongside you in this unique church for the glory of God. We bid you farewell, and may God continue to bless you, Pastor Tice, and Liberty Baptist Church. We love you. Thank you.
Evening again. It's a privilege. This is an honor. There's very seldom you're going to ever be in a situation like this, or you're ever going to be privileged to be able to witness the birth of a new church. People are afraid of birthing a new church because it's painful and it costs. But this is a privilege, and this is something that is unique in within this church, planting churches within the same city that your church is. But I'm thrilled. My wife and I have for some time prayed that God would send people to this place to minister to specific needs. And we really believe that the Griffins coming to Las Vegas was an answer to that prayer. So you're going to have now the opportunity of hearing, Brother Tony Griffin, where are you? Are you hidden? Where are you? Back in the back. And we're thankful for you, Brother Tony. You come. And you preach to us the Word of God, and let's just hear. It better be good, because I'm not going to hear you preach for a long time, okay? So come and preach. Let's welcome Brother Tom.
Well, good evening, everybody. We're going to be in Esther chapter 8 tonight. Esther chapter number 8. Before we get into the message tonight, I want to share some things with you, just for you, for Liberty Baptist Church, to say how much of a blessing that you've been to us. But you know, I thought about this church, I thought about the name Liberty, and I thought about each letter in that word Liberty, and The Lord put some things on my heart relative to each letter in the name of your church to express my gratitude, my family's gratitude to you since we've been here, about 3 years now. But I think about what liberty means to us, and I think first of all about the letter L and your love for our family. I've met lifelong friends here, and I take that very seriously. I just joined the 50 Club the other day. You get like real sentimental when you get close to 50 and crying all the time. It don't make no sense. Man, think about somebody. I'm all that. That just is not natural for me, but you know. But I thank the Lord for that love that you have for my family. Amen. I think about the letter I. I think about your involvement in our ministry, your partnership from the mail committee, working tirelessly on our mailings, from Family Soul Winning. It's a joy and honor to have you a part of our ministry, to be out with us on the streets on our behalf. If anybody comes to our church, it'll be because of your efforts. My wife and I can only do so much, but when we have the partnership of this church and other people outside of here, it's a blessing. Amen? I thank you for your involvement. I think about the letter B. The reason that I'm here is because of your pastor's burden for the lost. When you've been in ministry almost 30 years, you can't be under just anybody. If I can be frank and just transparent for a minute tonight, I think I've finally got to the place I can be that way with you. When I heard him and I heard Josh the same week at Pensacola Christian College talking about and being real about talking about, some people talk at church planting, they're church planters. There's a difference, amen? And it just oozed from them. And it was because of that burden. I've never been to Vegas. I've never been any farther west than Kansas City, and I thought that was the end of the world. And so we came here totally and absolutely by faith. I packed my family up. We put our house up on the market. It rented 2 months later, and we moved here by faith. And God met every need. That's a whole story in itself. Amen? But we've been here about 3 years now. I think about the burden that you have for the lost. Letter E, I thought so much about your enthusiasm for church planting. Again, one of the primary reasons that I'm here. Some churches are just concerned about us foe and no mo, but you all go beyond the walls, and it's real, it's legitimate. Your pastor, the pastoral staff, I work with them every day, so I know. It's real, it's a real deal. Amen? I think about the letter R in liberty, and that was really, for me, represents your readiness to help my family in every way conceivably possible. I don't know of a way you have not helped our family. I wish I could think of the whole list, but you call 6 winter missionaries at your ticket to come here to minister on our behalf. I thank God for that. That's the first time this church has ever done that. They believed in what we're doing. I praise God for that. I think about your endless financial support, not just being on pastoral staff, but just the other little odd and end things that you do over and over and over and over and over again for us. We thank God for that. You brought us on staff. I came here and got a job. I didn't ask anybody for anything. Amen. We trusted the Lord. God made a way. And I was in Office Depot across the street. Pastor Matt said, we want to bring you on staff. Next thing I know, I'm working here. Amen. Go figure. Amen. God knows what he's doing. So thank the Lord for that. I thank God for the counsel. Just the other day, I had the privilege of spending some quality time with my pastor in the office asking him stuff. There's new things that have surfaced in ministry since I did it back in the 90s and the early 2000s. I needed to get some wisdom on, amen, and he helped me come out of the dinosaur ages about some things, amen. I praise the Lord for that wisdom. And then the letter T, for your tireless prayer for us and this work. This church really, really, really believes in prayer, and they practice prayer on a regular basis. I've been all around this country and out of this country, not often, but I've been out of the country. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever been in a church that has a 5:30 men's prayer. Not that they don't have men's prayer, but this is the first church I've ever been a part of that makes a premium on that. That's a sacrifice, to come a half hour earlier to pray. Not really a sacrifice, but you know what I mean. But that this church believes enough in prayer. Amen? I think about the letter Y in liberty, us yoking together. You know, we're only going up the street, y'all. I'm about as close to Lead Middle School as I am to here. I live at Cheyenne and Tenaya. I get there in about 12 minutes. I get here in about 12 minutes. Amen? My kids will still be going to school here. Amen? We'll still be involved in activities with you. So we're not like going to Alaska. Amen? We're just right up the street. Praise God. Amen? And so it's neat that we can yoke together. If you look at my material, you'll see that I advertise Spanish ministry. We have a Spanish ministry right there. We have a school, amen, right there. Don't we? Isn't that true? We advertise that bad boy, amen. And, you know, because that's a great drawing card. And if we can send some folks your way, praise God for that and vice versa, you know. And so we thank the Lord we can yoke together. I'm excited that our kids can go to this school. The kids of our families in our church can be in this school. And all that's associated with being involved with a mother-daughter concept. So I just wanted to share that with you. Amen. Liberty, thank you so much for being a blessing to my family and to our ministry. We'll be in Esther. Esther chapter 8, verse 6. Are you there? Esther. Chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verse 6 tonight. I want to share with you this thought, and then we'll bring some other thoughts from this same book, but the thought that really struck me is in verse 6. Esther says, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Tonight I want to talk to you about this thought. Do you have a real burden for people? Do you have a real burden for people? Let's pray. Father, bless now the remainder of our time together tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to preach in this pulpit for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many popular action movies are about some good and evil characters, or even whole galaxies, competing to obtain some relatively small, insignificant looking, yet powerful and otherworldly object of absolute power. For the Guardians of the Galaxy, it was a little 4-inch round orb. In the Lord of the Rings, it was a smaller ring. In Avengers, it was this glowing cube called the Tesseract. Don't y'all act like y'all ain't see them movies. Come on. Getting all spiritual up in here. I got clear play too. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was Moses' lost ark. So relatively insignificant things, not that the ark was insignificant, but you know what I mean. To do all that going high and low, up and down mountains and all this stuff for a ring, that don't make no sense. But they do it. You know, in similar fashion, in real life, in the book of Esther, we see the struggle between evil Haman and good Esther over the perpetual existence of the small, insignificant Jewish nation. Haman wanted them completely wiped out. But Esther did everything in her power to see her people continue, yes? To many of the other nations around who either fought or ruled them, the Jews were insignificant. But to Jehovah God, who like Esther called them his people, of the Jews, God would say, in Isaiah 41, verse 8 and 9, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Isn't that awesome? Deuteronomy would say also, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, for the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, he says, about that nation, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of all people. And verse 8 says, because the Lord loved you, amen, and that he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, say mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Amen. I'm so glad God is God and I'm not. Amen. He's the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And he repays them that hate him to their face. God don't play around. Amen. And he says to destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. That's serious stuff. You know, this is the God of the Jews, a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. So according to Deuteronomy 7:10, where God would repay them to the face, those that would dare to oppose his purposes and his people, Haman, the other character in Esther, could never win. The same God who is concerned about this little insignificant Jewish nation, among so many more prosperous nations, is likewise concerned about our rather insignificant city. And I don't mean to say that Vegas is insignificant by any means. What I am saying is it's not by any means one of the largest cities in the world. There are many cities in this country and outside of this country that are larger. You can gamble at many other places than you can here. We're known for that, but not exclusively for that. Vegas is a unique city, yes. But in the pale of cities around the world, it's rather insignificant when you think about it. You go and travel in Europe and Asia and where there's billions and billions of people, and you see what I'm talking about. Amen? Nevertheless, the God of Israel is just as concerned for our city as he was Jerusalem, is he not? Every soul is precious to him, and he does not want to lose one. You know, in the story of Esther, we see God's power triumph over evil because of the intervention of one Jewish woman named Hadassah, or Esther, as we know her in the Bible, whom God had providentially promoted as queen over Persia. Let me give you just a little backdrop about this book and then bring some thoughts from the book of Esther relative to, do you have a burden for people, a real burden for people? The backdrop here in this story is that this man Haman, a prince, he was promoted to prince, of course, in Persia, and he grew increasingly bitter that everybody bowed to give him reverence except Esther's uncle Mordecai. Do you remember that part of the story? And as Haman grew more bitter, he would conceive this plot to destroy all Mordecai's people in all 127 provinces spanning from India to Ethiopia. That's a huge expanse of territory. They were the leaders of the known world at that time. They were the Rome of their day. I want you to understand that. And Esther was called to the kingdom for such a time as this. She accepted the challenge to plead before the king for her people, having not been called to appear before him. And she says, if I perish, I perish. But my people are too important to me. The cause was too great for her to say nothing. Edmund Burke would say, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Did you hear that? You know, Esther uses Haman's own pride against him, inviting him now. She's cranking it up now. She invited my man and his ego to two different banquets with the king. And the second one, she revealed to the king, Ahasuerus, Haman's evil conspiracy of mass Jewish genocide. Inflamed that Haman would do such a thing and then go into his wife's private bedchamber to plead for his life, he has him immediately executed. Mordecai is then promoted to Haman's old position. How you like me now? That's the background in the book of Esther. That's Satan's deception. Number two, let's talk about Esther's petition. We see her deep burden. Twice she pled for the lives of her people relative to this plot that could not be revoked because the king's ring had enacted it. Okay? Unbeknownst to him, but it was enacted that way. Twice she pled for the lives of her people before the king. Look with me in chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. Chapter 7, verse 3. First, just before revealing Haman's plot to the king, we see, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. So first, before she revealed this plot to the king, but then secondly, she pled again for her people. Here we see her deep burden for her people. After Haman was executed for the crime, she came before the king again. And Esther spake, what's the next two words? Yet again, you see that? Before the king. And fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seemed right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse these letters devised by Haman, the Hamaditha of the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I, this is what struck me, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Now, I want you to pause right here, and I want you to take in this reality for a minute. This is a reality check moment. Don't miss this. Esther, for all practical purposes, was the queen of the known world. Did you hear me? She could have turned a deaf ear to the plight of her people, just like that. She was the queen of the known world. She could have enjoyed her royal life. Nobody would have known or cared. But like Moses, amen, of old, although he was a prince in Egypt, just like he, she risked it all for the burden she had for her people, amen. She bowed and she begged the king with tears of deep sorrow and compassion for her people. You know, I'm burdened today for my fellow Las Vegans. This is my city now. Amen. We put our tent posts deep here. We're here. Amen. This is my city now. And I've grown to love this city. I'm like Mr. Vegas. I love it. I'm a suburban kid. I came here, saw all these suburban areas and everything like that. But just, it's a beautiful thing. It's 35 Walmarts in Las Vegas. I don't think it's that many in the whole state of Florida. Wonderful. If there's no Lowe's in Walmart, I'm not doing it. So, amen. I'm in heaven here. Amen. And so, but she says, how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? She bowed and she begged the king with tears of sorrow and compassion. You know, I'm burdened today, like Esther was, for our people. Hebrews 11, 24 to 27 says, by faith Moses, this is a parallel in scripture, a prince in Egypt. The Bible says when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't think y'all heard me. I said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't miss this piece. Okay? That's how heavy this thing is. Amen? And so he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach or shame of Christ greater riches, say greater riches, than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. You know, there have been many days I would have much rather slept in. And others were after maybe one or two streets door knocking, I'm ready to go home. I'm just being honest. Amen. 110 degrees in the shade, forget it. But my spirit says, do one more map. And often that's the very week that God does something very unusual in our ministry. I'm sure your pastor can tell you story after story about that here. There's been many, many wonderful things that have been done because one man just decided to pray a little bit longer. One man decided he would just go one more street, one more step for the glory of God. Amen? And often that's the very week that God does something spectacular. You know, new families visit our services. I'll get several calls from our flyer. My phone's blowing up. Amen? We put on somebody's door. I really believe God rewards that selfless extra effort when it has a view toward one more possible soul in God's kingdom. Isn't that exciting? So we've seen, first of all, Satan's deception. We've seen Esther's petition. I want us, thirdly, to look at the king's reaction. And let's just say, for all practical purposes, that the king represents God here. Amen? We're talking about a wicked king, but just follow this as an illustration. Amen? He gave the Jews the authority to defend themselves against the enemy. Amen? Prior to this enactment, They were powerless before their enemies, interested in their demise. It would have been an easy massacre. This enactment did not cancel the earlier one. It just made it a whole lot harder for them to completely annihilate the Jews and they be defenseless. So it ensured that a Jewish remnant would survive. At the end of the siege, 75,000 of the Jews' enemies were killed, 500 or more in Shushan. What can we learn from this? God has likewise given us spiritual authority in him, has he not? Via the enactment on the cross. And that is, that enactment allows us to stand against Satan and against the forces of evil. Amen? Pardon me as we get the technology back on. Sorry. But God has likewise given us spiritual authority in him. Let me get this back on. And he did that through the enactment on the cross to stand against Satan and the forces of evil. Sorry. We're new at this. All right, we'll move this up. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing," the Bible says, "that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Romans 16, 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." You know, he gave them the authority to defend themselves. And then the other thing the king gave is he put the right people in power. God not only used Esther's courage to turn Haman's plot on his own head, but he also used Mordecai's wisdom as the new prince in Persia to sway the Persian kingdom to accept Jehovah as God. God allows Haman's, he allows Hitler's, he allows Mussolini's, and so on, to rule for a while. God allows that in his providence and in his sovereignty for his purposes. But whenever he's ready, he can remove them. Yes? And he can place someone more noble, like Mordecai, in power, who can change the face of history. Amen? As Esther and Mordecai and people like Joseph and Daniel did. Don't ever underestimate what God can do through a poor little boy, poor little Jewish girl. Amen? For the glory of God. Don't ever estimate what he can do with a poor little bus kid. Amen? They're not poor little. Amen? They're valuable for the kingdom of God. I'm after every one of them I can get for the glory of God. Amen? Give the Lord some praise tonight. Amen? Every soul is valuable in his kingdom. Esther 8, 15 through 17. Follow with me in our text. "And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad." Amen. Why? Because the righteous was in authority. Amen. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. A whole lot of praise going on up in there. Amen. "And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and feast and a good day." You ain't got to tell us about, you know, doing barbecue. We don't need a good reason to do barbecue. Amen. We real good at that, amen? I discovered heaven, by the way, this morning. Right outside our little, we got a little bonus coffee room. I looked outside, I hollered, it's like 10 barbecues out there. I said, Lord, bless you. 10 barbecues out there, tables, chairs, the whole bit. All these little freebies we didn't know about, amen? I'm in heaven, we can roast a pig out there, amen, for the glory of God, amen? But many of the people of the land became Jews. Don't miss that. Many of the people that weren't Jews before of the land joined Liberty, joined City, joined Southern Hills Baptist Church. Can I get an amen? Because of your light, because of your testimony, because of the joy and the gladness that they experienced. I ain't having no boring, stuffy old church. I'm sorry, it just ain't happening. Bore people with the Bible. That don't make no sense. And so many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Amen? And then I want you to see then the people's salvation, the Jews' salvation. One thing we see relative to that is that they had help from God. Despite heavy casualties, the king stood behind his enactment. He lost many of his own people in his kingdom, maybe many of his greatest warriors, maybe some of his great princes, because of the testimony of a poor little Jew girl named Hadassah speaking up on behalf of her people. He backed her against his own people. Man. Despite casualties, the king stood behind his enactment and he saw the victory through all the way to the end. He even went so far as to make a public show of Haman's already executed 10 sons, just to let the world know he meant business and he was behind his people. Notice in chapter 9, verse 12 with me, turn there. The king repeatedly asks Esther what else he can do to make this thing right. And the king said to Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 of my men in Shushan, the palace. And the 10 sons of Haman, what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition? He's asking the queen this. What is thy petition, honey? And I just added that for flavor, amen. But anyway, and it shall be granted thee. What is thy request further? And it shall be done. If that's not favor, I don't know what is. God is always with us, yes? He promises never to leave or forsake us. They also had help from the king's officials. Look at with me in chapter 9, verse 2 and following. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them. For fear of them fell upon all people, and all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews, glory to God, because of the fear of Mordecai that fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. Isn't that awesome? You know, just like King Ahasuerus did all he could to ensure victory for the Jews, even dispatching his officials all over his empire to assist the Jews in battle, God himself is always present to help us, is he not? And on top of that, he has numberless hosts of angels to protect and help us as well. Glory, glory, glory. You know, just some closing thoughts. Just like Haman devised devices against the Jews to destroy them, Satan likewise sows seeds of deceit into the hearts of our people to destroy their souls, does he not? That's what he does. That's his business. That's no big, big surprise to us. But I think, when I think about those devices, what are some of his harshest onslaughts against our people here in this city? I would have to think about at least three things came to my mind. Number one is a lack of Bible knowledge. I left the pastorate of 13 years to go back to school. I'm the oldest thing in seminary. They all getting up in the Lord, you know, bless the Lord. I'm getting up like, thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, everybody was like 25, 27. I'm like 47, you know. But we got her done. Amen. Because I wanted to be prepared for what the Lord had in the next phase of my ministry, wherever that would be. I didn't know it would be here. But I followed the Lord's leading. We moved on to seminary, met your pastor. The rest is history. We're here now. Amen. It's amazing the effect the Tysons have on. The next thing you know, after you meet them, you're on a plane. I don't understand it. But there's a lack of Bible knowledge. My people, the Bible says, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. As Esther, Ezra and Nehemiah, Haggai and Zechariah were absolutely key in the ongoing prosperity of the Jewish nation. We must speak up and speak truth to our people during these last days. These in the Bible, by the way, were the last days of recorded prophecy in the Old Testament. I want you to understand that. Chronologically, they don't come in that order. But Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, those books, Zechariah, and Malachi, Haggai, those are, for all practical purposes, the close of the Hebrew canon prior to John the Baptist coming in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to understand that. This was an absolutely key period. Had there been no Esther, there may not be an Israel today. Let that sink in. Had there not been a Dave Tice, there may be 50 shipwrecked families within a mile or two radius from here. I take that very seriously. To impact one life makes this trip all worthwhile. Amen? There's a lack of Bible knowledge. There's also worldly and wrong relationships. Like, everybody shacked up. You know? And I'm like, it's just like the ongoing thing. And you know, you love folks, you pray for them, you pray with them, but at some point you got to address that thing, amen? Fornication still sin, by the way, amen? Cohabitation is still sin. There's a Bible word called chambering. It's in the Bible, okay? There's worldly relationships. They're locked up in these relationships. And only the power of God, 13 years, 5 children together. What you going to do with that? Get married or get right. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Amen. But there's so much of that going on in cities like Las Vegas and all around the world. The backdrop here is during this 60-year time gap between Zerubbabel's ministry and Ezra's return is where the story of Esther takes place, where Judah and Benjamin had once again compromised with the surrounding nations. Esther, although over 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem, was their voice protecting them from God's judgment during this time. I want you to understand that. Had there been no Esther, had there been no Ezra, had there been no Nehemiah, there may be no restored Israel. See, Esther spoke out against the culprit and the cause of the Jews' dilemma, that is, Satan incarnate in Haman. She never said a word directly to Haman. She spoke to somebody higher and more powerful who had authority to defang him and to dethrone him. You know, we must respect Satan's authority and likewise ask that God rebuke him. Amen? I see not only lack of Bible knowledge, worldly relationships, but one other thing I see is a lot of apathy and indifference. A lot of this attitude could be our fault for not being salt and light and not being relevant to this lost world. If the world does not see a difference in us, something powerful, something authentic, why should they come to our church? Why should they give their lives to Christ? We may be the only Bible that this world ever reads. 1 Thessalonians 5, listen to this, verses chapter 1, verse 5. For if our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm burdened, folks, for Las Vegas and for this world. I want to see them come out of their sins of apathy, of indifference, of wrong relationships, and biblical ignorance. We have the answer, yes? Now let's take it out to them. How heavy does something have to be too heavy? Consider the following story. I'm done. A psychologist walked around a room while teaching a stress management course to an audience. As he raised a glass of water, everyone expected that he'd ask the half full, half empty question, you know? But instead, with a smile on her face, she inquired, "How heavy is this glass of water?" Answers ranged anywhere from 8 ounces to 20 ounces. She replied, the absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'll have an ache in my arm. If I hold it for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. So when should we move when we sense a burden for the lost? We need to move right away. Before the burden overwhelms us and we're paralyzed by fear. How am I going to make it in Las Vegas? Ain't got no idea. But God does. If we don't serve God now, we won't do it later. Look on the fields. They're white already. It's a harvest. Liberty Baptist, thank you so much. We love you from the depths of our being. This is our last official Sunday here. I'm still on staff there. The rest of this week we'll be tidying up some loose ends for your pastor, doing whatever he needs us to do this last week. But continue to pray for us. Pray for our group as we reconvene in a new setting. God has blessed us there. We're excited about what he's doing. Had about 37 out today, and it kind of feels and looks churchy over there, so we're excited. Pastor, I'm going to turn the services back over to you. Thank you all so much for allowing us to share our heart with you tonight. Pastor, why don't you come?
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.